Hi, church. Welcome to our online streaming services. We're so glad you tuned in today.
Yes, we are. As a church, we want to help you grow spiritually. We want to help you grow closer in connections with others. So we're doing some extra things during this time to help you stay connected and to grow in your faith. Two of those things are on Facebook. So if you follow Facebook, Christ Church or Christ Church West, we're doing two different things. On Mondays, Jovan and Chet are doing a Bible study, which has been really fun to be a part of.
It's a good time.
Goofballs, but they're so smart and helpful, and it's a great time. It's at 7 p.m. And then on Wednesdays, we're going to do a little worship time and then prayer time, which will be very helpful.
And we're also offering some weekend classes on Saturdays and Sundays. You can find all of that information on our website, ChristChurchOhio.org, as well as our Christ Church app.
We want to thank you so much for your generosity and the way that you guys just have gone over and above. It's made a tremendous impact in the lives of so many people, so thank you.
Yep.
There are two ways to give. The first is our Christ Church Ohio website, and the second is our Christ Church Ohio app.
Thank you so much for tuning in, church. We will see you right here next week.
That's right. Good morning, Christ Church. I hope everybody is doing well, being safe, enjoying this time with your family. I miss you one more week that we aren't together, but again, thank you for joining us here. I'm going to say a prayer to get us started. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you would be with us. I pray that you would do something good and right in our hearts today. I pray, Father, that you would encourage us, inspire us, and call out what is best in each and every one of us. Help us, I pray. I pray that you would help our homes. I pray that you would help our community. I pray that you would help our families. I pray that you would help every single smart person making decisions today, this week, Father, and give them wisdom beyond anything they had before. Help us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. A couple of months ago, before all of this craziness started to happen, I was driving to work. Remember what that was like when we used to drive to work together and just go in like we would normally do? And I was listening to a song by Ray LaMontagne. If you've never heard of Ray LaMontagne before, do yourself a favor. When service is over, Google him. He is way cooler than I'll ever be in my entire life. But he's amazing, and he's got like this raspy, soulful, wailing voice. He can belt on a song, and in my head, I sound like him. I mean, not in real life, like that pretend place in my head, we're like matched up singing. But he has this song called Such a Simple Thing. And in it, he sings this line, and it says, "Tell me what your heart wants, such a simple thing." And as I was driving to work and singing along with Ray, I had this epiphany, and I was like, no, my friend, it is not a simple thing. I've been wrestling with what my heart wants, what seems to be my whole entire life. Sometimes my heart longs for safety, and other times it cries out for adventure. Sometimes my heart really wants to be brave and noble, and other time it's a petulant toddler that can literally throw down at a moment's notice. Sometimes I want so desperately to be kind and generous, and way too often I find my heart rushing towards fickleness and selfishness. I want it to be simple. I want it to be straightforward. But what I've learned, my light bulb was, it's complicated, it's messy, and we're constantly questioning what our heart wants. And maybe you've had this question before, or maybe you found yourself questioning yourself, things like, am I doing this right? And is it enough? Who am I? Or what do I really want out of life? Especially in moments we start like this, asking what really matters the most. As life changes dramatically around us and things are not how they were and yet still not as they should be, we find ourselves asking the question, what is most important? When so many of the markers that we use to define ourselves are no longer available to us, or some have gone into hyperdrive at the expense of everything else, we find it a constant struggle just to make sense of not life, but our place in it. Moments like what we're going through right now have this way of stripping everything down to the bare minimum, and the extra goes away, and it confronts us with our own selves, our own questions, and so often we feel inadequate, like we don't have the answer. It's interesting because so much of our human experience is the ability to ask questions. We ask questions about life and questions about our existence, our value, our purpose, our faith, our importance. And generations of men and women have found themselves questioning these things at different times and in different ways. today, as we are asking these questions and thinking about this in this moment, in this time, I want to direct us to Jesus. And I want to direct us to this really incredible moment where he answered a question that somebody asked him about this importance issue. In Mark's gospel, Mark tells us about a time that Jesus was being questioned by all these different groups of people. And there was a man listening to these questions being thrown out. And the moment came where he decided to kind of throw his hat in the ring and throw out his question. Mark tells us that this man was a scribe, and at this time, his job was literally copying scriptures by hand. This job required him to exactly and meticulously take the words from scripture and rewrite them on new pieces of paper, and it left no margin for error. So essentially, this guy spent hours and hours every single day reading and writing the word of God. He knew it very, very well. So when he steps up to talk to Jesus, this is the question he asks him in Mark chapter 12, verse 28. He said, "Which commandment is the most important of all?" Now, it's interesting to note there are hundreds and hundreds of commandments in the Old Testament. And this scribe has seen them, and he's read them, and he's copied them, and he's wrote them down, and he's thought about them over and over again. So he's questioned, of all of these rules, of all of these commands, what's the most important? And this is the incredible words that Jesus shares. He says in verse 29, "The most important is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength." And he said, "The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." Now, it's interesting because Jesus uses two verses from the Old Testament to really hone in on this guy's question. The first one he quotes is from Deuteronomy, and it's love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with mind, all your mind, and with all your strength. This was a prayer that a Jewish family would say, the verse that they would say again and again. It was written on a little scroll, and they'd put it on their doorpost, so you'd have to see it every time you came in your house and every time you left your house and remembered who God is and how to connect with him. And it's this real specific thing that Jesus says, love God with all of yourself. But then he says the second is like it. He says, love God. But then he quotes this verse from Leviticus. Anytime you struggled with Leviticus, brother, sister, we feel you. But I promise there's some good nuggets in there. And this is one of them. Jesus says this whole set, quotes back to Leviticus. And he takes it from this whole section that's on how to take care of the poor and how to treat others and not being oppressive to your neighbors or hating people in your heart. And in this section, it wraps up with this idea of how to love your neighbor as yourself. So Jesus takes these two ideas, these two bookends, and he puts them together in this one place. He said all the commandments, all the laws, all the rules, they can all be summed up in this: love. Love drives all of it. So what we start with is this invitation to love God. We love because God first loved us. What happens is we know what love looks like. We know how far love can go because Christ showed us the incredible love that God has for humanity. Love is at the core of it all. I'm reading an incredible book by Jen Hatmaker. It just came out. It's called Fierce, Free, and Full of Fire. And she says in it, no one is unlovable. We were literally created by love, with love, and for love by a God who loves us and is love itself. She said its extravagance is almost embarrassing. This love is not just for one type of person the world finds acceptable. It's for all of us. I was so blown away by this. Like, it's for everybody, you and me and our families and our neighbors and our friends, our not friends, the people that drive us nuts. All lovable. Jesus says what's most important is loving God and loving people. We love God first, and it makes it possible then for us to love other people well. But it starts with us kind of wading through the swamp and mess of our heart. We look at this mess that life kind of accumulates over time and disappointments and the problems that we faced, and we look that mess in the eye and say, I'm more than this mess. I'm more than the sum of my failures. I'm more than the last mistake I've made or the disappointments or the struggles that I faced. We kind of wade through the swampland of our heart and we shake out the insecurities and the fears and the worries, and we give air and breath to the pain and the loss. And we confront all of it with the truth that God loves us and we are lovable. We say to all of these things, those happen, those are real, those might feel true, but it's also true that I am the girl Christ claimed is lovable, that you are the son God came into this world to save, and we are all of us loved and valued in Jesus Christ. And when we know that about God, it gives us this incredible launching pad on how to love. Because God loves us freely and graciously and generously, and this extravagant love he shows us makes all the difference. What he does is he says, I don't have to work to prove to God that I'm lovable. What he says is, I don't have to pretend to be perfect or write a 15-page dissertation on why I'm worth being loved. Like, there are no hoops to jump through or obstacles to overcome or song and dance routines that we need to get down just right to be performed. Very, very at its most core level, God teaches us that he loves us because he's loving, because he's gracious, because he's generous. In fact, if there's anything we learned through the scriptures in the Old Testament and the New Testament, is that God has historically sought after us, not the other way around. God has historically come to the rescue to find you and I, to save us and love us and restore us. It's the reminder that Christ did all the work. And he shows us just how worthy, valued, and loved that we are. And when I stand here in this truth, everything changes. Because this kind of love frees us and releases us and empowers us to go out into this world in love and generous and radical ways. It's not about us trying to prove that we're worth it or convincing people that we're good enough for it. It's about believing in the one who said it's true. It's about believing in the one who gave his life that you and I might live. It's remembering that there is one named Jesus Christ who walked into the hardest fight that ever needed to be fought, and he fought it valiantly in our behalf. When the world was at its ugliest, Christ led with grace, dignity, and love. Christ didn't wait for the world to get its act together and clean itself up and put on its pretty Instagram filter and say, now look at me, here I am. In the middle of our ugliness and mess, Christ stood up and loved us better than we've ever been loved by anybody else. It costs me nothing to love Jesus Christ. Yet it cost Christ everything to share the love of God with us. And it's that compelling love of Jesus Christ that stirs us up to live in new ways, to be able to love with courage and generosity and love sacrificiously and persistently and fiercely and gently. I please want you to hear the invitation in this. Loving God with all our hearts and our souls and our mind and our strength, this is a personal invitation. God's saying, I want your heart, your soul, your strength, and your mind, not someone else's. God bless Mother Teresa. She had an incredible heart, but she existed for her time and her purpose, and so do you and I. God bless the fierceness and the courageousness of men and women who've come before. They had their place. They had their space and time. And so do you and I. God invites us to bring who we are to him, all of ourselves, not the fake self or the pretend self or the cleaned up version we try to present to everybody else. He invites us to just lean into our messy awkwardness, our vulnerability, the things that make us uniquely us. Instead of trying to live somebody else's life or somebody else's faith or trying to fill in somebody else's space, God says, I want your space, your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength. And I know for sure that none of our hearts want to be squashed. I know God didn't create us to have our hearts compared with somebody else's journey or our hearts to be erased or our hearts that are told we don't matter. I know that none of our hearts want to be told that we aren't good enough. God invites us into this new life with him, where we bring this incredible heart that he's given each and every one of us, the unique soul that makes us who he thinks the world needs right now, right here, and this brilliant mind, this beautiful brain that's made to think and hardwired to ask questions and struggle with tension and work our way through hard things. And he invites us to take all the strength that we have in our weary, tired bodies and bring them to him. He invites us to love him with the uniqueness of our souls and our individual hearts and our very own selves. He invites us to our capacity and our ability with all that we have to go all in with Jesus Christ. We get to go all in knowing him and growing with him and bring all of who he's made us to be right here in this time and in this moment. He invites us to be fully present here today, right now. Not hiding, not avoiding, not pretending. And then as our friend Brené Brown is so good at reminding us, we can choose to be awkward, brave, and kind. And as we love God with our unique, awkward selves, Jesus challenges us one step further to say, love God, and now I want you to love others. Because just as God loves us, he loves others. He loves us in extravagant, life-changing ways, and he has that same love to share with other men and women right now. Which means how you and I look at people, how we treat people, says more about our love for God than anything else. I can say all the right words and all of the right things at all of the right times and quote all of the right verses, and I can know all the words to all the songs, but if I'm simply not living a life loving others, if I'm not working to be generous and kind with others' well-being and others' vulnerability, then I'm missing what Jesus says is part of the most important thing. Jesus said there's no other commandment greater than these. Love God and love people. This is what matters most. When life is a mess, I still can love God and love people. When the world around us is a mess, we still can love God and love people. John Hope Bryant said, it matters how you treat people when times are good and when times are bad. He said, the greatest sin is not to do bad. Everybody does bad. He said, the greatest sin is not to do good when you can. And I felt that so incredibly powerful. He said, love is action, love is doing. And when Jesus says, go out and love your neighbor as yourself, he's not talking about the street you live on or the zip code from where your home is. He's saying this is about being human and seeing the humanity of others in every single person that we come across. What each of us need right now is love. What our world needs desperately right now is love. What your family needs from you more than anything else is love. What our communities need so much right now is love. And we express the love that we have for God by loving the people around us. So I want us to dig in. This is a big idea, but let's make it real specific and tangible. What does that love look like? That looks like writing a note to your family and somebody in your family, your spouse, your parents, a sibling, your kids, a friend, a cousin, and saying, I see you, I notice you, and you matter. It looks like writing a thank you card to somebody who's out working hard day after day doing their part in the scary time. It looks like donating food to people who are hungry and soap and other essential items to people who don't have any. It looks like finding ways to give generously again and again and again because generosity is contagious. It's saying don't live from scarcity, live from generosity. It looks like finding time every single day to put somebody else first. Loving this way looks like finding time every week to do something for somebody else. It means be kind when you want to scream. It means shutting my own mouth when my big, large opinions aren't helpful to anybody else. If you can make something, make something. If you can give, give something. If you can say something, say it. That's how we get to love well this week. It was my birthday this week, and my friends and family showed up, and the love they showed to me through messages and cards and videos, it was a birthday parade that was the most beautiful thing. It went down my street. It made me ugly cry. It filled my heart with so much joy. It literally felt like a shot of adrenaline to my heart. I mean, we're all carrying the weight and the burdens of everything that we're going through right now. But when somebody loves you like this, it literally felt like somebody pumped adrenaline into my soul. And I'm like, we've got this. God's got this. I can do more, right? I felt so empowered by the love that my friends and family poured out on me. So here's what I'm asking. You and I, let's be that shot of adrenaline to somebody else this week. Let's remind them that they are loved and that they are valued. Every one of us longs to be seen and heard and noticed and loved, and so do others. So I'm challenging us all, how can we seek to love this week? But I want us to love without filter, without prerequisites, without conditions. I want us to love when it makes us vulnerable. You know, that awkward vulnerable, like you wish you could take it back instantly, but it's out there and you can't take it back and you feel insecure about it. Love with vulnerability and love awkwardly and love freely and generously this week. It is the most important thing Jesus said we can do. Take all that love that God's poured into us and poured into somebody else. It is the greatest contribution you can make when you love God and you take that love and pour it in to somebody else. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you would please help. I pray that you would help us to hear these words of Jesus Christ in a new way that we've never heard before. I pray, Father, that you would help us to love God with all of our whole selves. I pray that we would bring all of the mess, all of the awkward to the table, and with all of our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength, we would show up and love God with all that we can. I pray, Father, you would help us to find new ways to love the people around us. I pray, Father, as this love trickles out through our homes and communities, that hearts would be changed, that lives would be forged in new and valuable ways, and the truth of Jesus Christ would be lifted high in it all. Help us, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hey, church, thanks so much for joining us on our live stream. We are so glad you tuned in.
Yep, we'll see you next week.